Great morning, great morning, great morning, precious people. You know what time it is. It's time for your favorite talk show, the number one talk show, The Culture Call, right here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Praise 93.3790 WTSK. It is indeed the place where Tuscaloosa meets the world. And for the next 2 hours, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I'm going to be right here talking a little bit about everything from society to sports, education to economics, from religion to relationships. And as always, we are here to create a safe space to have empowering, provocative, and yes, sometimes controversial conversations. And listen, we can learn together as we share together right here on The Culture Call. Listen, want to give a shout out, number one, to Brother Jay. I'm telling you, the man with the plan. I'm telling you, I want you to give him a big shout out even today. I know I normally start off with my new listeners, but today I just feel led to give Brother Jay a big shout out. Listen, that we are embracing him and we are appreciating him for all of his service, all of what he does right here at 790 WTSK, Praise 93.3 FM. Now I'll give a shout out number two to all of our first time listeners. Hey, if you are new to the CC family, guess what? I am super excited to have you on this morning. Cannot tell you how grateful I am that somebody, or you heard somebody say, hey, you need to get apart and be listen to that Culture Call. I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal show, and I'm glad. So listen, no matter whether you're traveling through our city, sitting at your cubicle or your desk, or you're just around the house, hey, I want to welcome you to the CC family. And then, of course, shout out number three. Yeah, my faithful, faithful, committed, consistent listeners. Listen, you are the reason why we are number one. And I don't want you to ever forget that. You are the reason why we are on the top. And, hey, this is what I need you to do. Keep tuning in and keep making sure that when you see me, you encourage me and tell me that I'm doing a great job for our community, because that's exactly what I want to do. Absolutely. Listen, I want you to do me a favor. If you're tuned in, get your smart device right now. Go ahead. Get it. That's right. Get that smart device. And I need you to open up your app store on your Apple or your Android device. And here's what I need you to do. Search out Praise 93.3 FM. And there, you're going to find a free 99 app. That's right, a free app. You're going to find it there. And what's going to happen there is I want you to go ahead and download that app. That's what I want you to do. Absolutely. There you can listen to all the wonderful shows and all of the great programming there right here on Praise 93.3. You can hear Brother Jay in the morning. You can catch the Culture Call, Minister Chris, and Late Night Sister Darlene. All of the events, the weather, I'm telling you, traffic, everything you need to know is on that app. So, hey, do me a favor, do yourself a favor, and go ahead and download that app. And you can hear me in Miami, Florida, in Kansas City, Kansas. You can hear me in Dallas, Texas, or right here in the beautiful city of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile, Huntsville, Gordo, Reform, Boulder G, Utah. No matter where you are, you can hear us when you have that app. Hey, do me a favor. Go ahead. Please send me your public service announcement. I sound like I'm begging, but I'm not. But go ahead and send me your public service announcements and events to this culturecall.praise@gmail.com. That's culturecall.praise@gmail.com. And give me an opportunity to be your PR specialist and let Lottie, Dottie, and everybody know the wonderful things that are happening in your church, your organization, hey, your sorority, your fraternity. If you're an artist getting ready to have a concert or a preacher running a revival, hey, let this be the space that lets everybody know of the amazing things that you're doing for your community. We want to put some faces in the place and fill up the space so that you know that what you do really, really matters. You know why? Because we do it better when we do it together. And listen, I need you to save the number 205-752-4800. That's 205-752-4800. Go ahead and save that number. Call into the show and be a part of the conversation. I would love to hear from you. And if you can't, do me a favor, go ahead and sign up on our social media Facebook page, The Culture Call. It's easy step. They got a thumbs up button. Just press that like button. And now you are a part of our social media online family. I definitely will appreciate that. I want to see those numbers rise this week like never before. But hey, you got to go to the Facebook page and press that thumb. Hey, so do me a favor. Sit back and relax. Hey, grab you some coffee. You know how we do it. Maxwell House, Starbucks. Maybe coffee is not your thing. Go ahead and get you some herbal tea. Huh? Whether it is chamomile if you're trying to calm down, and green tea if you're trying to get a little caffeine kick to help you toward lunch. And maybe y'all know my new tea. What is it? Hibiscus. That's right. It's a red tart tea. You mix it with a little stevia or maybe a little blue agave syrup. Yeah, that's low in glycemic rate and level. Yeah, and it's a good for your blood pressure, good for your diabetes. It's just good tea. So go ahead and get that too. But maybe coffee and tea are not your things. And it's just water. Water is always good. Alkalina Spring, go ahead and detox that body. Flush out that system. That's right. All that food, all that stuff that you've been eating, flush it out. Wake those cells up and come on, let's get into the culture. I am super glad and elated, y'all, that this Monday, first of all, that we made it over the weekend. God has been good to us. Huh? Amen? Exactly. And all of the celebrations, I've been looking at all of the celebrations of African-American history because, of course, we're winding down. This is the last week of Black History Month. And I was looking on social media yesterday and saw all of the churches all around the country, people in their African garb, in their African attire, is saying their speeches. Little children were portraying some significant people in history. And it just made me feel so good and beam with so much pride. Why? Because we have been given a rich legacy and a hearty place where we will know that we matter, not just to God, but definitely to this country. And, you know, I think it would be remiss upon me if I didn't just say, hey, go, my Black folks. Hey, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. We know how that works, right? But hear me now. I want us to understand that we are not just resting on the shoulders of legacy and past excellences and past achievements and past inventions. I believe that today we have the genius, the intellect, and the opportunity. Don't worry about the letters, the DEI and affirmative action. No. God will give us and has given us space to create our own way, our own method. And guess what? Before all of those letters and all of those programs, we still made it, right? Inventions were still happening. People were still achieving. Our people were still being excellent in medicine, excellent in music, excellent in science, excellence everywhere in education. Everywhere we have been excellent. And I want us to keep that mentality throughout this year. You know, this past weekend, heading into the weekend, that the second Black four-star general who was the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they fired him. Not because he did anything wrong. It's just because he did not have the pigmentation for consideration, right? And a four-star general, they removed him and put someone who was so tremendously non-qualified. I mean, exponentially non-qualified. Now, let me say this very clearly, people, right? You have to understand. We see what's happening. We understand it, too. And nobody can tell me different. Black, blue, white, whatever. We see exactly where the targets are, right? And we see also who the positions are going to. It is people that they are people who are not proficient. They are people who are not necessarily intellectually inclined, are not knowledgeable. They just have what? The pigmentation for the consideration. They're just, you know, who they are. And that is the kind of country administration government. But here's the deal. We told you so. Right. There is an echo, a reverberation that's happening in this country that simply says we told you so. And people are looking so absolutely surprised at what's going on. But the truth of the matter is that we understand that we don't want diversity. He fired the highest ranking man who was Black, and then he fired the highest ranking woman. right? And put white folks there, white men there, average, even mediocre white men there. And you can't say that person is the top of the field. No, you had the top there, but the person did not have the right color. I'm not, y'all, you know, I don't know who hears me. I don't know who listens to the Culture Call, but I will say this, and I will always stand 10 toes down on it. It is obvious. It is obvious. And I want you to understand that the problem in our country is not necessarily anything wrong with you and I. It is wrong. There is a deep insecurity, a deep lack of effectiveness, a deep lack of intelligence, a deep lack of just how a polity, right? A deep lack of kindness, and regard and respect that's going on in our country. And, you know, okay, you know, I speak to the church all the time. And one of my friends, he hit me up. He's like, man, do you see that they're reading out corruption? I was like, dude, I've been praying for you. You know why? Because you are really weird. And you call yourself a quote unquote prophet, but you ain't seen nothing. Listen, I got tired. I got fed up. I just went in. And I'm like, bro, that whole, he was like, he finding corruption because dead people getting Social Security checks. I say, bro, that's the dumbest thing that, I mean, funeral home directors and everybody's trying to tell you that's not true. That is not true. I'm telling you, being one who's had two parents pass away, when my dad passed away and when my mom passed away, we had to sign at the funeral home. They had to send that. That was one of the paperwork we had to sign, right? So that they could cut those checks off immediately. And if you didn't and you messed around and got another check, guess what they did? They sent you a letter that we need our money back. We need our check back. That person has been notified as deceased, right? And I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? Man, that's so much corruption. And then he went to so much corruption in the Democrats. I said, Paul, hey, you really don't want to do this. You don't have the range. I don't need range. I got common sense. No, that's the first thing you need to stop saying is that you got common sense, because guess what you don't have? Common sense, right? It was just amazing to me how many people are hoodwinked that they had a Black History Month celebration at the White House, and these black folks were holding up a photo, a figurehead of Pastor Jamal Bryant and all this. You just glad. There is something intoxicating by insecure black people about white proximity, right? And that's interesting to me, right? Because again, celebrate black history. That's why you came there, but you did it to mock another individual, which says to me that your motives are something that are less than desirable or incorrect. And that you feel like you have an agenda and you're going to be protected. But I'm telling you what we're finding out, white farmers are finding out, white women are finding out, white, federal workers and government, they're finding out that when you vote to hurt other people, when you vote and not done your homework, it's going to turn around and hurt you. I saw this town hall about this, from this congressman in the state of Georgia, and there was all a room filled with conservative people that voted for the current president. And they were heated and fiery and hot mad because they didn't understand. They thought that he was going to hurt other people because it was immigrant. And so they were happy when they were like, that's right, get the illegal immigrants out. Get them out. Yeah, but then what you forgot is that ultra rich folks, don't too much care for poor folks and folks that are working class. That's what you found out. You found out that the leopards came to eat your face as well. That nobody is protected, right? Nobody is protected when power is on the table. And so, you know, we're used to as black folks being under people who think they have power and control. We know how to navigate historically, but people who didn't think that it was going to come for them are having a hard time dealing with the realities of what they put in office. And when that man said to you during the campaign, all you got to do is vote one more time, that should have been a signal right there. That should have told you what? Everything you needed to know. It should have, but it didn't have, right? And now there are people all over the country. You know, it was cool when they went satisfying and, you know, their promises to black farmers. It was cool because they are black. But now they're taking all farmers' subsidies. They're dealing with that. And how could you do this to us? No. The issue is you cannot, when you're trying to be a monarch or a despot or a dictator, Russia not killing black folks. You see what I'm saying? No, they'll do it to people that look just like them. As long, you know, they will be okay as long as you go along and get along and all that kind of thing. Because what this Supreme Court did before the election, right, is that they could have ended it if they just adjudicated the law. But they were adjudicating personality and position, right? They were adjudicating politically. And historically, the Supreme Court has been apolitical body. But when you told him that when he's functioning as the president, he has absolute immunity, when you did that, you literally, not figuratively, you could have just said he is a king. You could have wrote the rest of the brief and said he was a king. And Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote in her dissent that you all don't know what you are doing. You are releasing, you know, you're not even releasing an able person. Everyone that taught him, every person says the same thing. They say the same thing about Musk. They say everything that these people are not qualified to be where they are. And the issue is qualification. The issue is who's America's best, right? And that should not matter whether they're black, they're white, they're red. If we are all American, if we are all a part of this country, first of all, we are all human, right? And so one of the things that we've got to begin to address and to break is this whole element of superior humanity. Let me say that again, that we've got to break this notion of superior humanity, because if we don't do that, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? It is going to have this whole issue of, well, you know, they think they're better than us. They think they're this. They think they're that. I am telling you that you need to understand that we are in a season and in a moment, that if we don't get a full understanding of how we are as humans, that there are no high humans. Nobody's God here. Nobody's an angel here. And angels are, if you read biblically, are beneath humanity, because angels are not created in the image and the likeness of God. They don't possess the imago Dei, the imago Dei. They don't possess that, right? And so that this whole notion that was created about superior humanity, that because this person is Hispanic, they're not as intelligent as that person who is black. And they're not as intelligent as that person who is white. They're not more worthy. They're not as valuable, right? And that is the culture that is being created, that has been created. And when we don't understand that, we have allowed a bull in a china shop and putting on people who are conspiracy theorists. See, I posted a writing this past week, Culture Call, yesterday, on my Facebook and my Instagram. I think I posted on, but I said, that the whole issue, it was a picture of this woman, and I need to figure out, during the break, I'll tell you who she is. But she said the whole issue of the liar is not to make you not, believe the lie. It's not to make you believe the lie. It's to cause you not to believe ever, to make you be skeptical about everything, not just the liar. Not just a lie, but I want to make you skeptical and cynical about everything that goes on. I want to make sure that you are veritably uncomfortable with believing. That way I can destroy your structures. I can destroy your government right in your face, right? I can do whatever I need to do right in your face. And you won't believe somebody else to tell you this, and you'll see anything. That's the power of YouTube. That's the power of social media, that anybody can say anything, and now you don't know who to believe. And that is how dictators rise. That is how wicked authoritarians rise, right? Because you don't know what to believe. You don't know who to believe. And they cascade you into their own lives, right, of skepticism, of believing nothing. And I want to say this, Culture Call, you got to believe in something, right? Belief is so powerful. Belief is so supernatural, if I can use that word. It causes you to frame a reference, a mentality, a mindset, a way of life. Yeah, that's what it does. And so when you don't know what to believe, when you do not know what to believe, then guess what? You're going to be in a place where they can manipulate you with anything. They can manipulate. I mean, they got folks out here believing that dead folks 100, 200 years old, when the Social Security is not even that old, but they got you thinking that folks are taking and robbing your money, or dead folks are receiving a check at Shady Oaks, right? At Monumental Gardens, at Memorial Gardens. They got you thinking that somebody in that dead person's family is receiving a check. And when so that when the Social Security people and the funeral home folks and people who have experienced death and their families tell you, no, they're not. You're sitting there, oh, I don't know who to believe. And now they've got you. Now they have got you. And that's what they want to do. That's why you're going to have to stand your ground. Matter of fact, stand 10 toes down, create roots in what you believe, because they're coming after everything you believe. Yes, the church think they're protected right now. That's why they're like, oh, go, go, go. And shout out to the brothers and sisters who are standing up, who are pastors and who are Christian leaders and saying, no, y'all, this is not what God intended. This is not righteous. This is not, you know, healthy for the country. Shout out to each and every one of them, because it is indeed theological and scholarly work to be able to rescue the minds of people. Right. Right. That we are in a battle every day to educate, to make people more knowledgeable, right? To get them to not believe in the darkness, right? That they believe in the dark, but not in the darkness, as the darkness is a character, right? Not just the state of being, it's dark in America, right? But you still got to believe. You know, it's that person that says, I got to protect my peace. Well, if you got to protect your peace all the time, then you really don't have peace. Because protecting peace don't mean that you won't go through a storm. Protecting peace does not mean that you will not go through seasons in your life that are tumultuous and chaotic, right? If you get into a storm, you got to know how to navigate that storm in peace. You got to know how to move and to formulate and to still stand and to still maintain your mentality. You got to know how to be able to, okay, it ain't going to last always, but I know in whom I believe. That you got to have that kind of tenacity, Culture Call. Yeah. And I want us on this morning to really understand that this is the time to know what and in whom you believe. Because, again, the whole idea of the lie is to make it seem like you don't know what. So you go out in this world, I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe. So they can tell you anything, because that's the only way that their agenda will work. I'll say it again. That is the only way that their agenda will work. Right? And the lady who said that was Hannah Arendt, a German historian, philosopher. She says constant lying is not aimed at making the people believe a lie, but at ensuring that no one believes anything anymore. Wow, that's powerful. She goes on to say a people that can no longer distinguish between truth and lies cannot distinguish between right and wrong. And with such a people, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want when you got folks like that. That is powerful. That's powerful. Because here it is, Culture Call. All they want you to do is not believe anything. You don't even have to believe what he's saying. You don't have to believe what Musk is saying. That the issue is not for you to believe them. The issue is for you not to believe anything. And so you'll start fighting people who are telling you the truth. You'll do their battles for them. Right? You will do their battles for them. And what that reality is, they were having a conference with governors, and the governor of Maine was like, you know, XYZ, and he called her out. Called her out and said, you know, Maine, yeah, stand up, blah, blah, blah. She said, well, you know, what you're saying, we're not listening to them. Not at all. We're not listening to them at all. That's what he's saying. And then she said, well, we'll see. The federal government says, he says, we are the federal government. Who is we? What are we doing? Right? What are we doing? What are we doing? So we got to start thinking. We got to start believing. We got to start imparting into our children. They got to know their history coming after HBCUs. You know, I read where they're taking away thousands of scholarships into the millions of dollars that people depend on to go to school. But guess what? We don't care because it ain't our kids. We don't care about that single mother that was depending on that Pell Grant. We don't care about that family that needed that student loan. We don't care anything about that. You know why? Because we can just write a check. And you want to know something? Can I tell you the truth? And America gave them the pen. Right? So we have to now strategize. I told y'all that. We have to strategize. You know, from the local level all the way up to the federal level. All the way up to the federal level. You know? And so in our series this month from our local leadership, I'm grateful today that I've got two gentlemen that's going to come. They're running for city council. Y'all know I've been consistently trying to get the candidates on. March 4th is right around the corner. But I'm telling you, we got two amazing guys that are coming today. And we're going to share with them and hear what their visions are. But I need you, Culture Call, to believe in something. I need you to understand the way things are supposed to go. Absolutely. And listen, when you do that, I'm telling you, when you do that, it's going to unnerve them because they're dependent on an ignorant people, but not today. They are dependent on an ignorant people, but not today. Not today, I say, not today. Not today. You hear me? And so, yeah, I need y'all to tune in, lean in. If you're in District 7, lean in. Maurice Seeley will be here, and Joe Eatman from, I believe, District 1. That's right, District 1. He'll be here, and we're going to be talking to Joe and Maurice in just a moment, but I need you to keep it locked right here on the Culture Call with yours truly, L. Spencer Smith. Praise 93.3 FM 790 WTSK.
Elizabeth Baptist Church, located at 26.
This is the world premiere.
And we are back. It's the top of the hour, 11 a.m. and some change right here on the Culture Call with yours truly, L. Spencer Smith. Praise 93.3 FM, 790 WTSK. And hey, I want to welcome all of our second hour listeners. Hey, we have been having an amazing day. The first half, we had Joe Eatman from District 1 candidate. Hey, I'm telling you, he laid out his plan, and we're going to continue in that same vein. I've got another guest. Yes, Marvin Seeley. Am I saying Maurice, that's it. And I'm looking at your name right here. Maurice Seeley, realtor. I got that right, huh? Good deal. I am so grateful to have him on, candidate for District 7. And I want him to come on and tell us a little bit about a vision, his passion, and what his future, his vision is to move Tuscaloosa forward to the future. What's going on, Maurice?
Hey, Bishop, how are you today? So glad to be here, man.
I'm so glad to have you here, man. I'm so glad you made out time. I know these days, March 4th is right around the corner, and you are scrambling and doing grassroots and all of that stuff, trying to make sure that you get people out to vote and vote for you.
That's
and
right.
And so I am grateful that you have taken some time just to be on the Culture Call. And I'm sure that the constituents of District 7 are grateful to hear your voice on this platform. I've got it, and it's yours today, right?
That's
good deal.
Right.
Let's get right into it. I don't want to waste any of your time. What has been, or what would you say has been, your passion for getting into the race. You know, nobody just wakes up and says, I want to be a public servant, I want to be a politician or whatever. But what's your passion there? What's that thing on the inside of you that really wakes you up and say, okay, we're going back out there until we win? What is that?
Okay, so Bishop, for me, I would say it started a long time ago. I grew up in rural Choctaw County, Alabama, and both of my parents were educators. And they were strong leaders in Choctaw County. And one of the things about them, they believed in helping people. My father was a county commissioner for over 8 years in Choctaw County. And I marched those streets with him because we didn't have the technology then like we do now.
We dated ourselves.
We was foot soldiers, and we had to get out there and go door to door and meet with the people. But what my father did, and I saw him, how he helped so many people, he found a program back in the day called the CETA program. And the CETA program was a program that allowed young people who was out during the summer school.
I remember that.
To work and be able to make some money. And he also had various other jobs that he did, creating work for people. So that was my biggest passion for wanting to do it, to help people. So every day now when I wake up and I have that strong and burning desire more to help people, and that comes from being a foot soldier, walking out there in the neighborhoods, actually talking to the people, hearing the needs of the people, and hearing some of the things that they would like to see happen. So, man, that's my passion. Also, to give Skyland Boulevard that look back it once had. I don't know if you remember, but Skyland Boulevard was one of the places to be, man.
I moved here, I've been here for 29 years. It was, I think it was Gayfers, and then Gayfers. It moved to Dillard's, and that corner, that whole intersection busy.
Right. Yes, it was. And so you had the, what are they, escalators? You could go in there and ride up and ride down from the upstairs to the downstairs. And so it was booming. And so when people pass by on 2059, we want to give them that look to stop. You know, we want them to stop in Tuscaloosa. And District 7 is that stoppable, eye-catching place. When they see something built over there and it look nice, we want that. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that development. I've talked with and met with Mr. Stan Pate. And I'm looking forward to working with him to get this done, man. I am just fired up about it, Bishop.
Well, I can tell you got listen, y'all can't see it on radio, but he is passionate and exuberant about really making Skyland Boulevard, restoring it back to that place of prominence that it used to have about 10, 20 years ago.
Right,
yeah,
correct.
Absolutely. Listen, so District 7 is a pivotal district. All districts are.
Yes.
But when it comes to economic development, that it is prime for business, it is prime for entrepreneurship. What's your vision to draw businesses and to really create entrepreneurial relationships in District 7?
Well, the first thing we have to do is make sure that our infrastructure is ready to handle it. You know, we got to fix our infrastructure. You know, there's a saying that out there saying, if you don't do something about water, water will find a way. It'll find a way. So we want to take care of our infrastructure first and make sure it's right. From that time, whatever Mr. Pate is going to create up on in the old McFarland area, we want to make sure that we are a part of that, because we want the economic development to include bringing lots of jobs. If you bring lots of jobs there, you'll bring people back over there. With people, we need newer restaurants or more restaurants to bring people over there to eat. We also need shopping areas. We need better shopping areas. We need people to want to invest in that area, and so that our people can have somewhere to shop, and people from around the city of Tuscaloosa can shop. I want to bring something in District 7 that's nowhere else in the city of Tuscaloosa. That way, people are going to drive over there for that. And if they're driving over there to see, to come to that particular store, then we want to have something else there to keep them. So that's my passion for economic development. That's what I want to do, Bishop.
Mm-hmm. And I you know what? You cannot talk about economic development without addressing, you know, public safety. Because, you know, as a businessman, realtor, location is everything.
It is.
It's everything. And you can build a community all you want to, but if there is crime, if there's a lack of public safety in that area, then those businesses are really not going to come.
That's right.
And people are not going to move into those neighborhoods. So what partnerships or what plans do you have for District 7 to curb, number one, violence? And I don't think it's a violent area because, but what partnerships are you working on to create or expand public safety in District 7 so that it will be a place where you can begin to establish residential areas, more roofs, and to bring business? What that whole public safety, because, you know, our folks have you know, a side eye with public safety
right.
when it comes to that. But what bridges are you going to build? Yeah, go ahead.
So I think that I have mm-hmm. a excellent idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off with working with the police department.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work with them in every way possible. Now, I am a firm believer that there was a program out there
mm-hmm.
called Neighborhood Watch Program.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood Watch Program did not fail. Mm-hmm. It was effective.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Neighborhood Watch Program? We stopped using Neighborhood Watch Program.
Wow.
That's all that happened. We quit using it. We need to use today's technology with the Neighborhood Watch Program, bringing in our police officers, letting them talk to the resident at the town hall meetings, and letting them tell us how this can be best effected for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my vision. I can't give you all of it, but I am a believer that Neighborhood Watch Program will work. I mean, we have to take back our own neighborhoods.
Right.
We can't let outsiders come in and take over our neighborhood.
Right.
It belongs to us. That's where we live. That's where we reside. That's where we lay our heads at mm-hmm. night. And when you go in your home, you're supposed to feel relaxed. You're supposed to be a place of rest. Where you can find peace, you know? And if you can't find peace at your own home, you're not going to find it. So we have to take back over our neighborhoods, ourselves, so we as a people can find rest and peace in our neighborhood.
And listen, and you know about rest and peace.
I was going to say that, but you set me up.
You gave me that one, man.
That's all right.
You know about rest and peace, but no, you're absolutely right, because when people feel safe in their communities, it causes a certain vibrancy to emanate from that area. And I think that's so very important. Talk to me about your plan for education, because you know what? Not that I am sick and tired of people talking about Tuscaloosa education, because we need to talk about it. But what's the plan? What is the strategy? I've heard the protest. I've heard that we should have passed the tax ad valorem tax situation to fund the schools, you know. But what is your perspective and vision? You know, does the city have enough money? Does the school system have enough money? Because I heard somebody, a candidate say that they do have one. It's just an allocation problem, or we're not dealing with enough resources, or because right now we're not competing with Hoover. We're not competing with other school districts in the state. So what is your plan as a city council member to really talk about and address education? And I know city council, you know, we've got school boards and all that kind of stuff to deal
right,
with it.
Right.
But they're giving a heck of a lot of money
mm-hmm.
to the school district. So, you know, city council does have a say. What's your vision, and what do you hope will happen with education in city of Tuscaloosa?
Well, if I can remember correctly, there are two schools located in District 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my vision, was I a person for the school tax being passed? Yes, I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot just talk education and not do anything about education. If we're going to support our children, we have to support them. It starts at home, but it can also start in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we have accredited teachers.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay those teachers. We have to pay them.
Yeah.
We got to make sure that they have the resources that they need to do the job correctly. So my job, what I envision as being the city council is there is a representative of District 7 that represents the school board. So my plan would be to meet with that representative. I think his name is Mr. Erskine. I think that's who's over District 7. I want to meet with him. I have met him already and spoke with him briefly. But have a sit down and discuss what is the issues? What are the issues? What do you think the problem is? How can we solve the problem? How can we do better? What are some things that need to be done? I'm like the other person that you talked to. I believe that the money is there. Tuscaloosa has a lot of resources. We have a lot of money, believe it or not. It's just getting it allocated in the right place to the right people and making sure that it is used correctly.
Yeah, I agree. As a former teacher, you know, that's what I started off in Jacksonville, Florida. And I've been listening to these conversations, you know, of giving more money to education, giving more money to education. And you got somebody on the other side saying, well, we're giving money, but we don't see any results. And is there anything that you would suggest that the city council can do to hold the school system accountable to the money that's being given? I mean, we can, because you got to pay more teachers. You got to be able to keep them because, again, Hoover is right up the road. You got a lot of great districts, you know, a lot of other incentives that they can get other places. You know, what can the city council do, or what would you suggest as a potential council person that the city council does to make sure the metrics that the school board and the city schools meet up to a certain par? What's your vision for that? What would you say that the city council can do about that?
I know this is going to sound very simple, but, man,
simplicity is the thing.
Yeah,
right.
Show us. Show us your needs and show us why your needs are not being met. Show us what is the money problem. You know, we need to see it. I know there is a budget, but why are you lacking in this particular area? Maybe we need to talk about shifting money some kind of way. You know, instead of spending a whole lot of money in one area, maybe we need to shift some of that money to another area. That would be one of the things that I would want to talk about with the council, with my constituents that would be there. Let's talk about shifting money. You know, I am a firm believer that no one, two, or three people know it all. There are other people out there with ideas, and we get great ideas from other people. Maybe we should bring some of those people in, hear what they have to say. Get, you know, on my job, they have what they call best practices. You know, best practices is getting other people's ideas. So let's bring some other people in, listen at some of their ideas, you know, and maybe they can tell us and we can get something from other people.
You know what? And I agree with that because that's kind of the school that I was working at in Jacksonville. Matter of fact, the way that I learned about Tuscaloosa, even more the education system, is that our school was a pilot for the Montessori program that they started at University Place. And so I met a lot of teachers before I even moved here. And it was them coming to Jacksonville to find out what you just said, best practices. I want to go back to infrastructure just a little bit because it seems to be that in some areas, you know, that the infrastructure is getting better. And every person says, hey, we got to work on our infrastructure. We got to work on our infrastructure. We got to, because Tuscaloosa is growing.
It is.
You know,
it is
growing. And I think it is important. What specifically in terms of District 7 in infrastructure that you think that needs to happen that will tie, here's the question, that will tie District 7 into the advancement of Tuscaloosa? Because District 7 is probably a very pivotal section of development. If District 7 goes down, Tuscaloosa goes back at least 10, 20 years.
Right.
What is your plan to address the infrastructure? And we know it's an infrastructure problem, But what is the plans to address widening the roads? What are we talking about? Water, sewer? What are we talking about?
We're mainly talking about drainage issues. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When I, you know, since I've been out campaigning, mm-hmm. as I said again, I am a foot soldier. Mm-hmm. And since I've been walking through the neighborhood, mm-hmm. I have heard from people in Sky Ranch, mm-hmm. hey, listen, we need curves in our neighborhood mm-hmm. to help deter the water. Hey, in Alpine Hills, they have told me, we have flooding in our area right here. Water just stands up. We need this water to go somewhere. There's a creek that runs behind Alpine Hill.
Oh, okay.
And so we need that creek to be maintained. The resident showed me how the creek is growing up behind his house. It actually mm-hmm. runs behind a neighbor, a resident house. And he asked for the creek to be maintained. He said, to this day, no one has come out and maintained that creek. Mm-hmm. So there's flooding also in South Park. Mm-hmm. I've been to South Park. Those people talk about the flooding issues that that they are having. We can spend money in a lot of other areas. If you notice, Bishop, there's no one running against the people in District 3, 4, or 5. Why? They seem to get everything that they want. Hey, I said it. They seem to get everything that they want. And I'm not mad at them for getting everything that they mm-hmm. need mm-hmm. to maintain mm-hmm. their district. But, hey, there are other people out here that needs it. District 1 needs it. Mm-hmm. District 2 needs it. And District 7, which is a main threshold of Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. Skyland Boulevard mm-hmm. is a main threshold. You let an accident occur on the interstate between exit 71 and 76. Where do people get off at? Mm-hmm. On Skyland Boulevard. Right. They do. McFarland Boulevard is our other one. And 15th Street. They'll maintain well. There's no reason that Skyland Boulevard shouldn't look as well as or better as the University Boulevard. There's no reason for it. In order for you to see University Boulevard, you have to get off, take some streets, and get back there to it.
Mm-hmm.
Skyland Boulevard, you can ride down the interstate, and you can see it. You can see it, and people get off there when there's problems. So those are, you know, things that I look at, and that's where I want to start at, in those areas, because residents pay their taxes. Residents deserve mm-hmm. the things that they need. We cannot, we won't promise everything, but we will give you a lot of the things that you have. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that we will talk about it, discuss it, find a problem and solution.
Wow. Wow. Okay, here it is, the big one. Maurice Sealy wins. Wow, he's District 7, Council Person. Woo! All right. All right, you sitting in that big high back leather chair. What are your three top priorities? What are you going to do, your top three things that you're going to do from your community day one? If you had to list three things that you would do, give us about a minute and a half about what those things would be.
So let me bag up just a little bit.
Okay.
So I've already envisioned in my mind what's going to happen.
Okay.
So once I am elected, day one, mm-hmm. I'm going to the Belt Activity Center. I think we are sworn in sometime in May.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get dates. Those dates are for the town hall meeting. I'm going to send out those postcards, send it out through email, because there's a city email that you can sign up for and you can receive emails through the city as to what is going on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set up those dates for the people to come for the town hall meeting. They will know every date that we have planned for that calendar year. From that point, on my second meeting, town hall meeting, I'm going to have the police officer come and start talking about crime. So now, to get where you are, and I'm sitting in that leather chair, and it's time to make some decisions mm-hmm. for District 7, Mayor, we want some infrastructure taken care over in District 7. Mayor, we want some lighting in District 7. Mayor, we want a better-looking Skyland Boulevard for our people. Mayor, we want to do something about the homelessness. And I know you told me three.
Let me stop.
You said three.
Let me stop.
The passion is there, brother. Right. The passion is there to help these people, to help people. That's what it's about. The Bible tells us that Jesus didn't only come to be served, but that he may serve others. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was. He was a servant for the people. And that's what I want to be, a servant for the people. And I hope I answered that
question. You did a good job. Y'all, District 7, lean in. Maurice Seeley is right here sharing his vision to move Tuscaloosa forward to the future. That's our heart here at the Culture Call. And I know I'm making sure that all of our candidates are being held to that same level. Listen, what can they do to get connected with your campaign? I know it's just around the corner next week, but give them, if they want to be a part of your foot soldiers, your grassroots, connect with you, the volunteer. What is that information?
Hey, if you would like to be a part of what I want to do, you can reach me, first of all, on my telephone. I give it out. It's 205-886-4669. Mm-hmm. You can call, drop a text. Either way is fine with me. If not, please go on my website at sealthedeal.com. D7.com. Read about me. Read about my platform and some of the things that I want to do. From that point, please go on my Facebook page. You can follow me, Maurice, at sealthedeal4d7.com, and see what's going on. Hey, and by the way, Reverend Bishop, please let the people know about the forum that we have coming up on Thursday.
All right, y'all heard that. A forum on Thursday, because he just answered the question I was getting ready to ask him. The forum is on Thursday. Do not miss it. He'll be there answering your questions. Hey, March 4th is right around the corner, and Maurice Seeley is here giving you his vision. He is giving you that vision. And hey, I need you all to be at the forum to hear it all right? Thank you so much, Mr. Seeley.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, Culture Call, we have some bills to pay, but I'm glad that you all leaned in to hear from our candidates. Listen, this is your boy, L. Spencer Smith, right here on Praise 93.3 FM, 790 WTSK. We've got a little bit more to go. Keep it locked right here.
This is the world.
And we are back right here on the Culture Call with yours truly, L. Spencer Smith, Praise 93.3 790 WTSK. And we have been having an amazing day. Yeah. With Maurice Seeley and Joe Eatman being on. And I'm so grateful. And so in this last segment, I want to cause us to understand that this season, I'm trying to find a better word than season, because that sounds so preachery, right? But we have an opportunity, I believe, that we can access and assess, and maybe assess and then access, a different way forward. A way that starts from the local all the way up to the federal. And our job as citizens in this city, in this county, in this state, and as citizens of Alabama, is to hold accountable and really assess where we really are and tell ourselves the truth. That's why I wanted to have our local candidates on. Why? Because both incumbents and those who are running against them, because I want to hear what their assessments are of their particular communities, their districts, and Tuscaloosa, right? That the language that we use in this season cannot be singular. My district, my community, it begins there. But we have to understand that our communities, our districts are a piece of a larger puzzle that is being solved in real time. And so it is important for us, yes, to make sure that we understand who we are and who's representing us, who's desiring to represent us. What's on the table? Is it infrastructure? You heard a lot about that. Is it education? You heard a lot about that. Is it economic empowerment? You've heard a lot about that. If it's public safety and building relationship between the police and the people of our communities, you've heard a lot about that. And so it is important for us to go to these forums and to go to the particular places that will cause us to hear the vision, right? Now, I'm not endorsing anybody. This station does not endorse anybody, but I felt that it was important for all of us to hear from candidates, to see what their perspectives are, right? Because, you know, all of us can't make the forums. All of us can't, you know, don't meet them during the grassroots campaigning. I may not have been home, or you may not have been home when they knocked on your door to share a pamphlet and a morsel of their vision. And so this platform, the Culture Call, is just but one that has many listeners. That we wanted to share that so that the candidates could come and share it with people who are, yes, listening to their voices, not just their wish list, but their desire and their passion to alter their own lives to serve their community better. And quickly, we'll hear and we'll know exactly who those people are, who are they representing? What is the cause of them running and spending money? Where are the people in their districts investing their dollars, you know, in what? Do you have a vision? You know, all of those things are so, so very important as we move forward in the hour in which we live. And so, yeah, I want to make sure that we understand. I want to make sure that we understand exactly what we're doing and exactly where we are going. Now, I want to provide that platform for them so that we will know exactly what we are getting on March 4th. And I am hoping and I am praying that each and every one of you are planning and preparing to treat our local elections like it's the federal election. Some didn't even show up for the federal election. Let's break that habit. Let's break that cycle. Let's create a new trend that anytime it is an opportunity to select and to decide who will represent us on any platform, local, state, or federal, that we show up. Do not remember the quote that I said, do not believe not just the lie, But understand that your vote makes the difference. Your vote, and I know that this is not a metropolitan area, as it were, but Tuscaloosa is important. Your district is important to moving Tuscaloosa forward, to moving us into the future, to seeing the growth and the attracting the economic development that we need to, right? To make sure that our school system can stand viably with anyone in the state and anyone in the country. Yes. And I know that sounds oxymoronic considering what they're attempting to do to education system, what they're attempting to do with the Department of Education, what they're attempting to do with, you know, refusing scholarships and things, you know, that seem unnecessary. It's amazing how sometimes ignorant people, you put them in power and then they're going to attack what makes people intelligent. Right? That makes absolutely no sense, because they're like, well, I don't need all that. I don't need all these degrees and all this to get where I am, because I'm the president. I'm the governor. I'm the mayor. I'm the this, I'm the that, because there are people who like them show up to elections to vote them in, as if voting them in is going to change the fact that, yeah, they don't know nothing though. They still don't know anything. You know, they're spending so much time exacting vengeance and going after enemies. And you see with the swiftness how, you know, government workers on a Saturday received an email that you better tell us what you do at the end of the day, or you're going to lose your job. That is the epitome of insensitivity. But that's what That's what, you know, people in this country elected. And they're still not, you know what? Here it is. I think, y'all, and I'm not being prophetic, I'm not prognosticating, but here's what I just believe. I believe that we're going to have to live a while in this, because it's not because of the people who know, but I believe time and the divine are going to have to convince the people who thought they were right. And it's going to take time for that. Because in order for you to be corrected, you've got to break the arrogance of that which is incorrect. Right? That there's got to be something that brings people to their knees to ask for wisdom. They got to say, oh, man, I did that. I did that. And, you know, I'm telling you now, it is not that easy. It is not that easy. They think it's about transgender. They think it's about homosexuality. They think it's about all these issues and quote unquote sins that have made America, you know, taking it down and all that. No, it is corruption in leadership at the top. It is. I mean, are those things something that people don't prefer? Fine. You don't like homosexuality? Don't be a homosexual. You don't like transgender? Don't transgenderism? Don't be a transgender. Don't. You don't like divorce? Don't get one. You don't like interracial marriage? Don't marry someone of a different race. You know, all those things are preferences. And I say this as a pastor. Part of the separation of church and state, I heard a guy say, there should be no separation of church and state. And I said, here's me. I said, as a black man, that's probably ranking up right there with one of the most ignorant things I have ever heard you say. I said, because you got to understand, it was the lack of separation between church and state that got our ancestors enslaved, that the church wholeheartedly, fully, you know, well, not the church, all the church, but the church in the South fully supported slavery, fully supported misogyny and genderism, fully, you know. So you got to watch people who are even in church that will use God, will use Jesus, will use the church, that little black book, to use it against people. They were used in the name of God. They left. I said to him, they literally left the lack of separation of church and state. They literally left church to hang black bodies and burn them with their children, excited. No, there's got to be a disconnect. There's got to be. And when I say separation, that means that the government doesn't control the church, and the church should not control the government. And when I say control, I'm talking about that because, you know, Baptists believe something different than Methodists. Methodists believe something different than Catholics. Catholics believe something different than this one. You know, Apostolics believe something different than Kojic and all these different. It's too many denominations to say the church. What church? Who in the church? If you don't want no separation, it's the governor of Arkansas mandating that the Bible be in the school system. And the question becomes, is who's going to teach it? Because when I grew up, it was never an issue of me not bringing a Bible. I could always pray. We prayed over our food. No, there couldn't be just one prayer. There couldn't be just one prayer and one thing, right? Because they didn't want to offend people from other religions. But could you pray? And you know what the biggest myth in this country, one of the biggest myths, is that the Christians in this country are being persecuted. They're not. They're not. My children could pray when they were in school. I could pray when I was in school. That nobody can stop prayer in school. My issue is the Bible in school. Can I tell you that? Who's teaching it? Because when our ancestors read it, it says one thing. But when the slave master reads the Bible, it says something different. Ain't no slave master today. No, not because the institution of slavery doesn't exist as it were. But the 13th Amendment is still there. But that's another story. But who are you to teach my children or to exact your beliefs on them? You see, it's a whole ideological concept. And all of these ideologies are being branded by the majority in this country, and when I say the majority, it doesn't mean that all white people, but white men in particular, white cisgendered Christian, traditional Christian men who believe that women don't have a voice, that they should be barefoot and pregnant every day, you know, should not be in the workforce, should definitely should not be in the military. Right. That black folks are subservient in intellect and in every place when, you know, our inventions drive the entire civilization and society of the country. You see what I'm saying? And so, yeah, but they get this onus from the text. But what I'm trying to say in a big scope of things, this is what happens when you sit home. This is what happens when you don't involve yourself, Culture Call. And I need us to put our thinking caps on March 4th. Let's start there. Not federal, not state, but just local in your district, specifically in your district, to make sure that we get the leadership that we need to move Tuscaloosa forward to the future. And I believe that if we make that commitment, that given time, and not a lot of time, given time, there are things and people are already poised, resources that are already poised to move us and advance us. Right? In our state, that we're not just a drive-through city. That's one person in my travels that said, oh, I've been to Tuscaloosa. I've driven through it. No, we can be more than just a drive-through city on the way to Birmingham or on the way to Louisiana, to New Orleans. We can be a place that they've got to stop and pay attention. But it can only happen if we voice and select the leaders that we need to take us to the future. Listen, I got one more segment. I need to pay some bills. Y'all stay right here on the Culture Call. Don't you dare miss it.
This is the world premiere.
And we are at the end of another amazing show. Shout out to Joe Eatman and Maurice Seeley for dropping by and sharing their vision as they are attempting to become a council person in the city of Tuscaloosa. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you to all of you who have listened to us and have shared today and have learned a little bit, you know, about not just the candidates, but about our strategy for moving forward in the country in which we live. It is important for me that our people may not be late, last, and or lost. And for as long as God keeps me on this radio station and at this desk, I'm going to always be empowering my community. Absolutely. It is my chief joy. Listen, as my grandmama and my mama used to say at the end of every phone call, I love you a bushel, I love you a peck, and I love you a hug around the neck. This is your boy, L. Spencer Smith, right here on the Culture Call. Praise 93.3, 790 WTSK. Keep it locked right here. And while you do that, listening to great gospel music, make sure that you're kind, at peace. Yeah, touch somebody's life. Let them know that it's going to get better from here. Give them a reason not to give up. And I'll catch you all tomorrow. Listen, same bat time, same bat channel, same bat station right here on Praise 93.3 790 WTSK. Until then, y'all be blessed.